Hey everyone, it's Amber Summers, and I'm thrilled to be back with you after almost a year since my last episode. Like, can you believe it's been that long since I've been on this mic? The last time you guys saw me, I was 7 months pregnant, and now I have my newest addition, Hazel, which I welcomed her into the world on 420 of last year, and she is precious. She is everything I could have ever wished for in a girl. But I'm excited to be here. I'm in my new studio setup. I'm rocking the color purple today, which of course is the color for domestic violence and was one of my mom's favorite colors. So I felt like it was only right to put this on to give this energy because it's good energy. I'm feeling great. So if you're a returning listener, you know me well and you know me very well. However, if you're new here, I am your host of Summer's Truth, Master Certified Life Coach, and Advocate of Domestic Violence, Sexual Assault, and Child Abuse. Before we jump in, if you haven't done so already, hit that subscribe button because I want you to be updated when I release new episodes. You're the first person I want to know about it, so hit that thing, okay? In the past few months, I have experienced an abundance of blessings, and one significant one was connecting with the nonprofit Ignite Her, which focuses on warriors and survivors of domestic violence. Big shout out to Christopher King for the introduction and for just being all around an amazing person. You are awesome, dude. A huge shout out to Tiffany and Nancy for recognizing something in me and deciding to bring me on the team. Thank you so much. I am proud to say, drumroll please, I am officially a board director, aka board warrior, and I love it. The ladies that I work with, they all have their own individual stories, but together, it really just makes us so much stronger. Just this past Saturday, we actually hosted our very first workshop, and the turnout was amazing. So if you're interested in workshops or any type of material, check us out at igniteher.org. I will be dropping the link in my bio. So with all of these blessings, the urge to return to my podcast has grown, and here we are. I couldn't fight the itch any longer. As promised in my last episode, we're going to sit down today and we're going to dive deep into the topic of domestic violence. Look, I know it's a tough conversation that many shy away from because it can make people uncomfortable, but I'm here to do that. I'm here to peel back the band-aid and to talk about it. Now, oftentimes outsiders will only witness the superficial aspects of a relationship, not the deep layers beneath the surface. To them, your relationship seems perfect. My mom constructed this narrative during her 27 years of marriage to my father. If someone on the inside could get a glimpse of the reality behind those closed doors, they would likely identify their relationship as a toxic one. So how do you characterize a toxic relationship in your view? Let's look at the 10 key elements that define a toxic relationship. We have the lack of communication, difficulty expressing thoughts and feelings openly, leading to misunderstandings and unresolved conflicts. We have controlling behavior, one partner attempting to control the other's actions and decisions, as well as imposing restrictions on your personal freedom. Constant criticism, regularly being put down or criticized, undermining your self-esteem through negative comments. You have lack of trust, suspicion, or distrust without any valid reason, jealousy, and possessiveness, which ultimately lead to a strained relationship. There's emotional manipulation. So using emotional tactics to manipulate or control your partner, this includes guilt tripping, gaslighting, or playing any kind of mind games. There's the unresolved issues, so failing to address and resolve conflicts, as well as bringing up past mistakes and grievances. We have lack of support, the absence of emotional or moral support during challenging times, along with disinterest or dismissive behavior towards your partner's needs. constant negative energy. So this is a prevailing atmosphere of hostility, tension, as well as difficulty finding joy and positive moments in the relationship. You have the inability to grow together. So this is feeling like you're being held back or hindered in your personal or mutual aspirations. And the worst one of them all is the physical or emotional abuse. Hitting, any type of verbal attacks, humiliation, or intimidation. Now, just because you didn't hit all 10 bullet points doesn't mean that you aren't in a toxic relationship. All it takes is one of these. So I want you for a second to think about the emotional toll and impact a relationship like this can have on your mental well-being. Relationships like this can cause someone to start to experience emotional distress, and prolonged exposures to these toxic behaviors ultimately leads to heightened stress, anxiety, and depression. I have personally seen what relationships like this can do to someone's self-esteem. It brings it down, which causes you to constantly criticize and negatively kills your self-worth, as well as your confidence over time. And what do? You tend to guilt and shame yourself. Now, if you're a survivor or a victim, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know how you can internalize that blame and make you feel guilt and shame for the problems that have arisen in your relationship. So you see how it can affect your mental well-being. But what about the physical health? Our physical health is just as important as our mental, right? Most people who have been in a toxic relationship will experience stress-related health issues, such as chronic stress, which can contribute to various health problems like cardiovascular issues, seizures, blackouts, a weakened immune system. And then we have the sleep disturbances, which arise from anxiety and tension. Now your weight's fluctuating because you're stressed. You're gaining weight or you're losing weight. And you also are more likely to have an increased risk of substance abuse. I have seen so many individuals turn to substances as a coping mechanism in toxic relationship, posing additional health risks. What about the worst one of them all? Thoughts and acts of suicide. Did you know women who suffer domestic violence are 3 times more likely to attempt suicide? That's crazy, right? To feel so low that the only escape is taking your own life? That's hard. But here we are, not knowing that this toxic relationship was somehow affecting our physical health this way. Instead, Google tells you, you have cancer. When really the cancer is your poisonous relationship. It is a parasite, a leech that's literally just sucking the life out of you. What drives me crazy is how people will sit down and they'll victim blame and they'll ask questions like, well, if the relationship was so toxic, why did you stay? Honey, there is no correct answer to why people stay. But if there was an easy answer, it would be that there's challenges when it comes to leaving. But it is so much deeper than what most understand. Take my mother, for example. She had kids with my father. She had a life with him. But that is not why she stayed with him. She feared retaliation, which if you've been in a domestic violence relationship, you know that this is common. You know that you can tend to fear more violence if you attempt to leave. There's also the financial dependency and emotional attachment. Now, despite the toxicity, my mom had emotional ties and she did hope for positive changes, which resulted in trauma bonding. She also lacked support due to being so isolated that she couldn't talk to anyone, which did make it challenging to navigate the process of leaving. So, we talked about physical and emotional abuse, and how it can be part of a toxic relationship. Is it considered domestic violence? Yes. Yes, it is. But what is domestic violence? And what does it look like? Domestic violence, which is also known as intimate partner violence, refers to a pattern of abusive behaviors used to gain or maintain power and control over another person within a domestic setting. Now, domestic violence doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter your background, your age, your race, or your gender. Domestic violence will extend beyond physical harm and can also manifest as emotional, psychological, and sexual abuse. Now, many different things encompass domestic violence, and one of the biggest ones that we know of is the physical abuse. Now, someone asked me the other day, not me, but the group I was a part of, they said, "Can your spouse rape you?" And listen very clearly, your spouse can rape you. Any unwanted sexual advantages is rape. Your spouse does not have the right to your body when they please. You also have the financial abuse, verbal abuse, control, and not to mention social isolation. It can go as deep as stalking and using social media to monitor as well as harass their victims. Now, the last one that most people don't think about is the spiritual or cultural abuse. This is exploiting the victim's religious or cultural beliefs to control and justify the abuse, or even manipulate their sense of guilt. So you really have to understand the different forms of domestic violence to identify and address them. Now, the immediate impact of domestic violence on victims is intense, but do you actually know the aspects of immediate impact? The aftermath of domestic violence is both physically and emotionally taxing because victims will experience shock, fear, anxiety, panic, and struggle to comprehend the traumatic events that just occurred. And this leads to psychological trauma and PTSD marked by flashbacks, nightmares, and anxiety. Then you have the act of self-blame and shame, followed by your daily functioning being thrown off, causing difficulty concentrating, sleeping, it's causing employment issues and family problems, trauma bonds hinder leaving. But let's not forget the children. If a child is present during an act of violence, they suffer immediate and potential long-term emotional and psychological trauma. So long-term impacts often affect your future relationships as your trust and intimacy may be challenging to rebuild. They can also contribute to a pattern of accepting unhealthy relationships, which does make it difficult for survivors to establish healthy boundaries. I know how hard it can be to speak out and seek help, but doing so is such an important step in breaking the cycle of domestic violence and fostering healing for survivors. Silence often keeps the process of abuse going. It allows it to continue unchecked. So by vocalizing your experiences, survivors not only reclaim their voices, but it also sheds light on the existence of domestic violence, which ultimately fosters awareness and understanding. Let's empower individuals to assert their rights. Let's challenge society's stigmas. Let's hold these abusers accountable. Seeking help is not a sign of weakness, but really it's a courageous step towards reclaiming your life. How can one escape this kind of situation? That is the biggest question of this entire episode. Recognizing that it's time to leave a toxic relationship is important to ensure your safety and your well-being. Red flags can manifest in various aspects of the relationship. These signs include escalating patterns of physical abuse, emotional manipulation, and control. If there's a constant sense of fear, anxiety, or any type of isolation, let this be an alarming factor. Other red flags can be your partner refusing to seek professional help, or a lack of remorse for their harmful actions, or a cycle of apologies followed by repeated abuse. Trust your instincts and recognize when the relationship is causing you more harm than it is good. If your efforts to set boundaries or communicate concerns are met with hostility, it might be a sign that it is time for departure. Ultimately, awareness of these signs empowers individuals to prioritize their safety and take the right steps to exit an unhealthy relationship. Build a support network right now if you don't have one. Start with your trusted friends, family. Start with them because they are the ones who can offer you the emotional and practical help, which can help with the safety planning. Have you ever actually sat down and researched the statistics on domestic violence? Well, here they are, okay? 85% of domestic violence victims are women. A woman is beaten every 9 seconds. Every year, nearly 5.3 million incidents of domestic violence occur in the U.S. for women between the ages of 18 and older. Domestic violence results in almost 1,300 deaths and 2 million injuries every year alone in the United States. That equates to more than 3 women being killed by their husbands and boyfriends every single day. Women are 5 to 8 times more likely than a man to be victimized by their intimate partner. Most domestic violence incidents are not reported to police. Only 20% of rapes and sexual assaults, 25% of physical assaults, and 50% of stalking towards women is actually reported. And despite that, when we look at how many calls are made to the police department in terms of violent crimes, domestic violence makes up 50% of them. Only 1 out of 5 victims of domestic violence will actually seek professional medical treatment. And for every 30% of women who are abused, the first incident occurred during pregnancy. Women are most at risk of violence during separation from their immediate partner. So knowing this, it's really time to create an exit plan. But how do you do that? Let's go over the steps on how to create an exit plan. And keep in mind that this is going to look different for everyone. The first thing that you need to do is start documenting. Documenting important information. So keeping files, anything that has to do with your identification, financial records, any type of legal documents. Keep it in a secure and easily accessible location. Establish a safety code. Develop a discreet signal or code with trusted friends, family, or neighbors that way you're able to communicate that you're in distress without raising any type of suspicion. Pack an emergency bag. Prepare a bag with essentials such as clothing, medication, important documents, and sentimental items, and store them in a safe place or with a trusted friend. Secure finances. Make sure you establish a separate bank account. Ensure that you have financial independence when you leave the relationship. Keep a list of emergency contacts. So compile a list of emergency contacts from local shelters, support organizations, friends, and family members. Plan safe places. So identify safe locations in the event that you are in immediate danger. So this could be a friend's house, a domestic violence shelter, or even just a public place. Change your online passwords. Secure your online accounts by changing your passwords and consider using a private browser to prevent any form of tracking. And if this is something that can raise suspicion with your abuser, make sure you do it immediately after you escape. Seek professional help. I can't stress this enough. Consult with a domestic violence advocate, counselor, or any type of legal professional who can give you guidance on the safest way to leave the situation. Inform your trusted individuals. Make sure you're sharing your exit plan with whoever your trusted individuals are, so they can provide you with the support and assist you when it's needed. Consider a restraining order. Explore the possibility of obtaining a restraining order to restrict contact with the abusive partner. Make sure you include provisions in your exit plan for the safety and the well-being of your children and your pets. Prioritize your self-care during your exit. So this is seeking therapy, counseling, making sure that you are okay is most important. So I encourage all of my listeners today, break your silence. Share your experiences. Reach out for support. You are not alone, and people and organizations are ready to support you. The goal is to get you out of this kind of situation before it's too late.